Blog Talk Radio.
After years of character development forged in the refining fires of life, a talk show host emerges onto the stage unlike any other. Speaking with a voice of thunder, with wit and wisdom gushing forth like a sparkling spring in a dry, desolate land. His practical insight and resolve gives him a passport to the hearts and minds of an audience desperately seeking truth and integrity. Arriving on the scene just in time to save humanity, here he is, a vitamin pill with legs. This is the Tony Venuti Show. And here's your host, Tony Venuti!
Day, folks. Welcome. It's another day in Tony Venuti's life, the next conservative radio hour, as I share with you my absolute and total understanding as to just how we've... I want my country back. How many times have you heard that? People are scratching their heads wondering what's happened. How did it get like this? And as far back as we go as maybe to the Bush administration. But folks, I'm here every day, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hail from Brockton, Massachusetts, but now I'm in Tucson, Arizona. In my home office, yes, past publisher, born in 1950, you eyewitness to the pop culture, trampling our traditional culture. And I'm here to tell you, having lived the life of a liberal, but really being a closet conservative, having understood misbehavior and seeing it celebrated and understanding how the myths of how the media generates false premises in our minds and we turn ourselves into celebrity, we turn ourselves into victims. I've been watching the culture transcend the idea that we're the boss of we, that we're responsible for we, that we're accountable to we and someone greater than ourselves. Having been brought up on the right side of town with the political class and the trust fund babies, but all a little bit impoverished in the new income housing that those very liberals promoted. Be careful what you ask for. I've been watching good people get played for so many years. See, like the cartoon figure that bought into that trick bag of walking by the picket fence and seeing the hole in the wall, would have kept on walking right along that hole in the wall unless it saw this little statement that said, "Don't look in this hole," feeding upon human nature. The people that create those cartoons and create other kind of subliminal thought processes. I really do believe that's how my criminal history started, how the genesis from that was created from that very first cartoon because, hey, I was a good kid. 20 years later, I'm being sentenced to prison by the judge's son that I went to school with and played in the playgrounds with. I've been seeing a manufacture of victimization coming from the black-white situation, coming out from the outside as an Italian, trying to turn me into white. Now, I got an interesting perspective that I want to bring to you, but I got to tell you something. This whole business about ridicule is what I understood all my life as a kid. My inner strength came from me being able to overcome ridicule. Matter of fact, because I understand ridicule, it's that very understanding that I could self-talk myself into calming myself down, because I understood very early on that when people don't have any good to say, when the best I can do to defeat you in an argument is to start giving you disparaging remarks and ridicule and such and trying to embarrass you. And of course, it's really easier if they've got more money in their pocket than you do in yours, isn't it? It gives you this little sense of security when you feel you're better than somebody, huh? Well, I understand that. Brought up with a mother's tough love rejecting the idea that we were victims. I sort of hoped early on that we were actually pretty lucky. You know, that's the difference. We didn't have a whole lot, but we felt lucky. Meanwhile, across the street, we were watching those with Mudge, who always was whining and moaning and acting like they're so much better. Oh, see, I understand that angst. The microcosm of the world's view upon America, as we've been led to believe, due to, you know, the fact that we're imperialists and that we're heavy-handed and that we're suffering. No, man, it hasn't got nothing to do with that. Very little of that. That's secondary. Let me tell you what's primary. What's primary is that when they see gluttony. What's primary is when they seek. You have to understand survival here. What's it all about, Alfie? Huh? It's about survival, baby. And in the purest sense, to which many of you will never know, but I have the experience, but not to the degree that those in certain parts of the world have, which is true survival, just day-to-day being yourself. Never mind having a color TV and a car in the garage. Forget that. The percentage to which the world is absorbing all the what you don't know won't hurt you, and this is bliss. No kidding. Well, I wasn't angered. As a child, I knew. I was sort of taught that. My mother made us know. Tough for y'all. You know, when you've got tough love balanced with the amore, with the love, and you know that the parents really up there sacrificing for it, and you got to believe, you don't have contempt. You don't grow up with contempt for your parents like rich kids tend to. Not all of them. At least 50% of all you rich, and you know what I mean by rich, too? I mean, if your dad or your mom lost their job, you wouldn't be out of the house in 2 weeks or 4 weeks. You could actually get by for months and a year and probably recover. And we're talking about the other day, the average income being $60,000. So they're calling the middle class. They finally got a figure. I love this. I love this. They finally got a figure for the middle class. Of like $65,000. I'll pay that. I've been fighting the whole thing because they never use, they misspeak classes. They don't mention the working class. They don't mention the low class, which I believe is the low moral deficient class. Get their hands in entitlements all the time, work in the system, paying in the system, and another hand in felonious crime. It's super, that's just the way it is. Where else do you think these people live? There's nothing lower than the low class. There has to be the low class, okay? It has to exist. And guess what? We're never going to make that go away. It's just it. Now, it's an individual who lives in any class. If they can go anywhere they want if they put their feet to the fire, right? So let's just get off the generalities in the abstract and talk to the particulars and understand logic, reason, and deduction here. But liberals celebrating misbehavior are simply the children of the world utilized by, hey, all roads lead back to Marxism, doesn't it? I mean, did this guy not have it down, huh? He had it figured out. It was crazy. Karl Marx, at the age of 30, my goodness gracious. As simple as that. Developed the 45 points of the Communist Manifesto that I live and breathe with. All right. Are you ready? I'm ready for this. Our liberals, baby killers. Ridicule has been the biggest weapon. Saul Alinsky, polarize it. Turn it upon themselves. People hate ridicule. Especially good people, because we're so busy trying to be good. You don't understand that you have to fight fire with fire. You have to have logic in your hat. You have to understand evil. You have to be as bad as somebody else is going to be bad. It's like this. It's like, are you a good witch or a bad witch? Do you have good motives? It's not what you do, it's why you do it. When you've got to dominate rather than be dominated, you've got to do what you've got to do, and it isn't always fair in love and war. And that's just the way of the universe. So I wonder what kind of impact it would have if all of a sudden the collective group speech, which is by definition not something conservatives are used to, believe it or not. They think similarly in terms of their beliefs for the Constitution, but that's because one and one is two, but they all have different ways of getting to two. Unlike you on the left, who, because of your transform of self-esteem and self-image to that of celebrity, to that of pop culture, to that of going along to get along, you're either being fed directly with food stamps, or you're being fed by working in those jobs that are so liberally, how shall I say, inclined. But I'm just tired of the 24/7, 365 media assault. And Fox, you know, gosh, honestly, they certainly are a good thing against a very bad thing, but I think they exist for a long-term wink, wink. I think Fox News is just there to provide the contrast of the true leftist pullings and agenda that the media has now. And Fox is out there doing very well, just, but you know, look at the liberal contributors. They have three or four on. I'm always great with examples. I'm not the student. I'm just your experiential social philosopher telling you my understanding of what's been going on with the help of the music. Oh, yeah. With the help of Hollywood. With the help of putting all of these false impressions into our head. We grew up with so many of them. I was born in 1950. My parents, in generations ahead, we've been hearing, haven't we, that each generation's job, its duty, is to provide the education ahead of it, or I should say the experience and the success of the generation ahead of it one step higher, to always to be to improve the generation than the one before. And that was our goal. To keep up with the Joneses, going from consumer from citizen, going to consumer from citizen, instead of being a, but you see, this has been happening for a long time now, hasn't it? Ever since technology has played a large part, hasn't it? Is technology feminine by definition? When you give absolute power to the Omega over the Alpha, it becomes perverted, natural law. Well, I'm a religious, I'm sort of religious, but I'm not a practicing religious guy. Brought up Roman Catholic. But I speak about God as in love, as in energy, of the forces of natural law from which biblical teachings are derived from. That religion is derived from natural law. It's all about the plus and the minus. It's all about the good and the bad. You know, a lot of things are going to be balancing on the edge. Yes, everything really does come in threes. Now, I've always had the sense of understanding people's deeper motives and seeing why they do what they do. I think that of myself, metacognition, thinking about what you're thinking about. But one thing is mostly certain, not everything is, unless you're the eyewitness, right? Unless you're the eyewitness to something that actually happened. And even in magic acts, or sleight of hands, or those who have that kind of wizardry. But I don't think that's what we're talking about. Generally speaking, though, I remember going to school in the 50s and the 60s. I think we all did this. What, tell a little story around the classroom and pass it around, just something that you made up and how it turned out to be different by the end of the class. So as we've been getting our sensibilities diminished, this is what I've been saying. I've been saying pop culture diminish our citizenry responsibilities. I see the antagonism that the more we were led to believe, all those in the, it comes down to this white-black thing all the time. I can't get away from it. It comes right down to that white-black thing all the time. I mean, I understood racism. You know what really doesn't work? I don't care what color you are. But it's not about color as it is about income level that people will hang out. You know why? Because without a certain amount of cash, you know, spending cash in your pocket, that discretionary cash that you can live above the means of your need to survive, there become certain class structures within just the ability to play the game. It's like going on into a casino and you want to play into a particular game, but if it's a $25,000 buy-in, well, you, Joe, the truck driver, you're not going to be playing in this game, not because you're white or you're black. If you're black and you walk into that casino with $25,000 at the table, you can buy in. That's all this racism is really all about. Because it's only natural in my eyes to be racist. It's bigotry that isn't right. So I got to say that all in one breath. Racism is only natural, but it's bigotry that's not right. That way, if somebody tries to splice it, you can see it. Because when the time's right, it'll be taken out of context, trust me. So I understood racism, okay? And yet the only ones that could have that kind of trick bag put in were blacks. I didn't get a lift up. I didn't get any freebies. Nobody was there, was out there standing in line waiting to help me. Nobody was giving me bullhorn messages from 360. Things are real. The past 10, 15 years I've seen, because the field, it wasn't so bad in the 70s and the 80s. I was on the streets and I couldn't get any help because they just, outside of one soup kitchen per city, and it had to be a pretty good sized city for it to exist. You just didn't have them back then. Now they're all over the place and they're advertising food stamps and it's almost like set up. It's because all of a sudden they want to transfer the wealth onto the government, because now the government, having enabled everybody, all of a sudden has a need that they themselves created. And then they further perpetuate it and further perpetuate it. Before you know it, no one's working and everybody's just taking soup from the soup kitchen. And everything's just been flip-flop. I've been watching this incrementally. That's the kind of sensibilities I have in my train of thought here. As I move a little bit forward. Folks, you've been listening to Tony Venuti with the Ex-Conservative Radio Hour, where each and every day, it's the culture, stupid. You're eyewitness to the pop culture, trampling the traditional culture, the music that made liberalism sexy. The music I love, man. Some of the best music in the whole wide world, no doubt about it. Isn't that the rub? Isn't that the rub? The more I hear about it, it's like, oh, be right back.
All the leaves are brown. And the sky is gray.
day.
Tony Venuti with your ex-conservative radio hour from Tucson, Arizona. I just made a new group today on Facebook called Liberals Are Baby Killers. Yes? Question mark. Liberals equals baby killers. Yes? Question mark. Now, you know, let me tell you, I'm not kidding myself. We are being watched, all right? And there's not a whole lot we can do about it. And that's just the way it is. So I don't know how long this will even stay up, actually. Because essentially what I want to do is I want to ridicule liberals. I want to embarrass them. I want to turn on to them the very tactic, very essence. That for me, anyway, now here's the deal. Here's the contradiction. There's a, first of all, duality and hypocrisy. Duality and hypocrisy. Liberals will have you believe, as we were growing up as kids, and the rejection of adults or and authority in general, and that's how this whole thing sort of flipped. This whole conundrum of behavior to which parents were rejected now, and kids became contemptuous, which is, by the way, the ingredient necessary for liberalism. It's the essential ingredient is contempt. And then when the trainers get a hold of them, and you know what I'm talking about, because now they're right. They're ripe from the pickings. They're malcontent about one thing or another. Forget they got anything they want. Most kids from a high upper-end background grow contempt because, you know, it's like the cat in the cradle, silver spoon, little boy blue, and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We'll have a good time then. That whole business about having contempt for the very person that's giving you everything you need in it. Just everything and held you accountable for nothing. Life was but a dream. Whoa, where'd this guy get all this energy? Slow down, baby. This is an essential component for liberalism. And this is what took hold. They had 20 or 30 years of really perfecting it. They started out as kids in the late 60s, right? Vietnam era, protests, and so forth. Joni Mitchell singing. Great tunes that were featured on Woodstock. All having meaning and all pushing the the thought process of everybody in the whole world, the whole world, it seemed, pushing it all out there towards the idea that, yeah, this is the way we need to be thinking. This is those old study guys, after all, don't trust anybody over 30. Don't trust anybody over 30. I always wondered about that. How can somebody get you to a circumstance where you're not trusting anybody over 30 and all of a sudden you're 32? All of a sudden you're 35. Doesn't it make sense that at some point you're going to be needed to take care of too? What is it all about today? Oh, don't get me started with that one. Don't let me go off train with this one. Saw on one of these competition shows, you know, one of these music shows, Voice or America's Got Talent or America's Got Perversion. Oh. And I'm hearing this concept of live in the moment. You're in the moment, man. Hey, cool, savvy, man. You're in the moment. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s where if you wanted to act and sound irresponsible like that drug-taking kid, what you would say is, hey, I live for today, man. I live for today. So in 40 more years from 70 on, we've gone from what a lot of people thought, wow, man, these people really don't want to live long-term thinking. It's like live for the day. We can't hang on to 24 hours with any patience. We now have to live in the moment, in the moment. What is it like that little bit that quick? Come on, man, you don't even have time to taste it. The essence, well, you know, and I'll tell you what, just, it's, okay. Can I be honest with you? I tell you, I don't prepare for this show. I'm not a student. I'm just free stream of consciousness here. I'm trying to stay tied into something, but I'm not always that good at it. I mean, sometimes I'll flow for a whole hour, 20, 30 minutes, and actually be on topic. And then other times it comes at me like when your cupboard starts to run out of food, and you've got to maintain yourself for a week or two or however long you get some more cash in your pocket, and you start to eat whatever that's in the cupboard, whatever. There's no rhythm or rhyme to it. There's no such thing as breakfast, lunch, or dinner now. It's whatever you can get. Well, sometimes things go like that in my head. But it all comes down to what's really going on today and how it reflects in today's politics and who's controlling who, which is the bigger question. Okay, this is being done to us, and has been. We've been allowed the right to succeed at a very high cost. And I'm talking over the course of 3, 4, 5 generations, 6 generations, 7 generations. Okay, because this is how the world is. It's like this global warming. It doesn't happen in 3 years, 5 years. You got to look back thousands of years. You got to see the trends. You got to understand. You got to know how to think. You're going to learn how to discern for yourself. You're going to use a little. But see, now we're in the world of emotion. We've been in the world of emotion because we've been run by emotion. We've been taken over by a force that had a consciousness. A force that had a consciousness that started in 1919 as a, I should get that out so I can read it, the cultural theorist, Marxist, all that good stuff, right? But even before that, it was Karl Marx when he wrote the Communist Manifesto as a 30-year-old student. What's that say? So is that like what was Meathead there on Archie Bunker's All in the Family, the 30-year-old student? But, I mean, this is a brilliant student. And, again, these philosophers, I've got this book that's, like, right by my side all the time. It's The History of Philosophy, which gives me, like, a good 500 words on about 20 or 30 of the philosophers in the different genres. And, you know, they all seem to have in common. They all seem to have been affluent. Well, I mean, I guess you had to be, huh, by definition, because those were the only ones able to get an education. Well, but still, Socrates wasn't affluent, was he? Aristotle wasn't, was he? I think one of them, but I know Aristotle wasn't. Do I know that, Tony? No, I don't.
You shut your mouth, man.
You gotta live your statement, which is, you know, if you think you know, come on. I might believe I know, but my short-term memory fails me. So if I was to have to put money on it, that's the only way you can determine if it falls to the test of do you know that you know. If you're not willing to put money down on it, then how can you tell me you know? And even then, you might be that stupid one that does it because you put up against the wall like that. But the bottom line is you lose your money because you didn't know. I had a ninth grade teacher who used to take a test, you know, in some of the true and false, multiple choice questions. Or was it true and false? Anyway, if you guessed, here's the deal. If you guessed and was wrong, you got double bumped. Okay, because you either know it or you don't. Somebody doesn't want you to just be lucky that one time or two times. They don't want you to rely on luck. That was a very conservative way of teaching. I remember thinking, you know, it was the fifth grade. That's right, the ice is coming back to me. I remember thinking, the same way I think of my mother, like, damn, I can't fool her. Didn't you respect those teachers more and those adults more? I mean, I was the class clown. I was always pushing the envelope. I was always in the closet. Always in the corner of the room. What did I do now? I'd have a field day now. I would have a field day. I wouldn't. It'd be bad. Yeah. Kids really. I'll tell you about kids. Don't you think kids are challenged? I mean, first of all, they go into a culture that's much like an ocean that you might want to swim in, depending on the lake that you go in, depending on which ocean you go in. You know how they all seem to have its own water texture, temperature, the whole bit. Boy, what are the kids getting into now? And it's all so convoluted that Atlas Shrugged, notwithstanding, I mean, we want to do the same thing, throw up our arms and say, oh, gosh. And the collectiveness to which I believe I'm wise, okay, that all through these years, it took many years. I mean, I had it generally down, but I didn't have a lot of the answers that I have. Going up the street to Phoenix from Tucson, I'd often see that billboard that said, get us out of the UN. And I remember in my DNA that it was, you know, it was John Birch Society people, right? I wasn't political when I was young. I haven't been political for a good many years. I just observe and I just think about why and some of the contradictions and so forth. But no, I was naive most of my life. I'm still naive. It's nice to be somewhat naive. It's a good check and balance to a degree. I got burnt a few times because naivete. You live and you learn, don't you? You make your own bed, sleep in it, right? Hey, it's cool to be a conservative. Right? Look people in the eye, they catch you with a hand in the cookie jar, say, okay, what's next? what would you like me to do? Cry? No, but tears and tears. I am so mad at myself. I am so mad at myself. Sorry about that, baby. Jeez. I'm disheartened now. I am so disheartened because I just come on after rattling on Wikipedia for 10 minutes. It had to be at least 10 minutes. I was going off on a good ride. I think I'm going to take a break and come back. You've been listening, folks, to the Tony Venuti, the Extra Conservative Radio Hour.
Full of thoughts, right?
And after a while, they weren't their own category, if you will. But what Facebook allows you to do is just click, click, click your friend as if to say, hey, man, come on in. The water's great. Of course, if they don't want to, they could take themselves out. But, you know, Facebook, where it's giving new meaning to the word friend, some of them get rather irate and direct about not wanting to be, don't put me into a group unless you ask first. All right, I got it. What I do with those, and this is what I do to really hone in my group, because I do believe that smart people understand that there's multiple groups for multiple reasons. And, you know, you can set your settings. You're not going to get inundated with emails unless you've got your settings set up and you take 30 seconds to fix that. So if it's a problem and you don't want to fix it on your end, then okay, I'll defriend you. That's all. So I don't want to bother you. But I don't want to work hard if I want to create a group. But this particular group, liberals equal babies killers, you know, was, come on, let's face it, right? It's pretty heady. It's pretty direct. I mean, I'm an in-your-face kind of guy. And I can lead that kind of thing, and I can inspire people to go with me because there's a lot of people that want to tag along. So what I've done is I've asked individuals, or I would post in different groups making my case for exchanging or for joining this group. What did I do? How did I do it? Let me go this way. I'll read exactly what I post on the different walls. And then what happens, people come over and ask to join the groups. You know, this whole thing, you know, baby killers is really about truth to power, don't you think? It's really that simple. It's just a matter of throwing back onto them using Alinsky's rules for radicals. The whole bit. Basically, I said, I believe this approach might start a blaze of discussion. Yes, fighting fire with fire, ridicules, rules for radicals. It works. Time we throw the mud back at them. And I gave them a link to the group. Please join this group, liberals equal baby killers. So people would invite themselves in. So far right now, the group's grown to about 85 people. And these people are essentially totally pointed. Not a broad conservative who might be, you know, I've had some conservatives say to me, well, you know, I believe in choice, I'm still a conservative. You know, it's like saying you believe in abortion. You don't believe in abortion, but you're still a Catholic. See, once upon a time, you couldn't even go to see. All these things have gotten loosened up. Once you start letting boundaries become the norm, it's one thing not to fulfill perfection and to be able to pay the price, to pay the penance. But liberalism has always said, oh, those meanies, there's no harm, no foul. You shouldn't have to be compelled to live by a certain standard. No, no. And see, it's only natural law that this whole business about abortion not to be made is okay. It's only natural law because when you think about it, what's it all about, Alfie? It's about survival. It's about survival. Perpetuation of the species. Why are we here? We're here for the self-perpetuation of the species. And we have figured out, unlike animals, and animals got their own, how shall I say, wired kind of way for their species, right? From which it's amazing how liberalism will never try to deter their commonalities. They won't try to, let me not get on topic here. But the self-perpetuation of the species has been found out to be, through trial and error, to be something of a familia, a family, of a family unit. precludes promiscuation. I mean, come on, we've got to do what we've got to do, right? We're human beings. I'm a firm believer in not doing what you're supposed to. I mean, it was a lot of fun if you didn't get caught. Oh, yeah, I had that little criminal streak, that little larceny in your heart, that little DIY. That's why there needs to be forces to keep you in line. If I didn't have the forces my mother had, oh, my goodness. If I lived in today's world that I had in the 50s, no, I'd be much worse. I'd be dead. I'd be dead. Instead of having survived 3 drug overdoses, no, you wouldn't survive them because you'd just be let loose crazy. But I was gifted with a little bit of common sense. Oh, God, just enough to make it just even straight. I never won either way. And I kept on pushing. Man, am I thick. I'm telling you, folks, I'm more thick-skinned than you are. That's why I can say what I can say, which is what you're also thinking, because that's why we connect, right? Birds of a feather flock together. I'm not saying anything wrong here. I'm saying a little all over the place. I know that. That's just Tony. But how can we get it to a place where the tide isn't turned to where we can't look at a liberal when they're giving us this crap and just say you're all baby killers? And don't even say it mean. Say it as a matter of factly. You're all baby killers. And if you want to go one step further, there's more black babies that are killed outside of the proportion from which the population exists. I bet you they have as much as, what, a black might be 20% of the population? And I bet you of all the abortions, 60% of black, 70% of black, I bet you 80% are of color. And this is, thank you, Democrats, Communists, I mean, whoever you are, socialists, communists, all roads lead back to Marx. I got it in 1971, watching the movie The Longest Charge, sitting next to Albert DeSalvo, the Boston Strangler, in Walpole State Prison, thinking that the universe was such that here I was in prison and they're going to make me better. They're going to make me whole. They're going to do right by civilization and make something of me. And here they are showing me the longest yard. That's so kind of intuitive. I slid in my seat and I went, bing, 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 bing. I said, wait a minute. And, of course, at 20 years old, I was just now, that was putting me on another level. That put me in another level of epiphany. And the first week or two, I bet you I talked daily on that one. But I've always used that to fall back to my understanding that you got to really step back and look at the big picture. You have to really step back and look at the big picture. Like right now, how many big issue developments are there in the news? Rick Santorum just dropped out or suspended his campaign, suspending meaning that he'll still be able to collect money to pay off some of the debts that he's encountered. This business with Trevor and Zimmerman, right? Now, just those two. You know, you still got Holder running around acting like in behalf of the, oh, what are you going to do about it, government? Oh, yeah, what are you going to do about it, Bubba, government? Fast and Furious. Forget international. Forget Iran, forget Syria. We haven't heard anything about Libya in a while. Meanwhile, Black Panthers are threatening. I guess there's going to be something on Hannity tonight. This thing's all over Facebook. I've never seen, because even though, you know, when I was reading, putting my head in newspapers in 1970s, 1980s, where I would read the whole paper, yes, there was only three networks running, you know, before CNN came in the 80s. But you pretty much get the bigger picture of the bigger stuff. But we're way over our heads, pal. Oh yeah, we're way over our heads. The mouthpieces for the puppet masters, in which the avatar is Obama, and this is a collectivization of over 100 years of intellectual thought and manual manipulation. In other words, there's been people in place that has taken one step to the next step following a certain criteria of development, a certain mandate, a certain business plan. You know what that business plan was? What's the Communist Manifesto? It was a business plan, man. This is no accident. You know, we talk about Obama, and if he was someone that was cultured to grow up to be exactly who he was, and of course we know it's from his father, who was a communist, to the whole fact that he's probably not an American born, all of that good stuff. Communists probably had a dozen to two dozen of families who they had in place, somebody ready to shine, just like they took those kids. I remember in the Olympics in the 60s and the 70s, I remember hearing how the communists would take these kids at age 3 and 4. And put them through a series of physical tests to see who had the natural, you know, knack at certain things. And they would take the kids from their family. Hey, it was not by age, of course. They would pass it to it. Oh, it was an honor. It better be an honor. Not only are you going to do it, but it better be an honor. Oh, you're trained, but it's an honor. They're going to take your kid. You know this business with the Muslim Brotherhood and all like that? With the border? Just waiting to pull the trigger, I think. Here I am in Tucson. I'm saying to myself, am I happy that I'm not in a big urban city? Well, yeah, but for many reasons, the least of which is terrorism attacks. You know, there isn't a city in the country east of the Mississippi I would want to live in. Okay? They're all decayed. And no one taking responsibility for it. No one wants to be ridiculed as being racial. The black-white question has been turned upon all you white Caucasians. I'm Italian, you got it? Okay, how they try to make me white. I mean, the Roman Empire possessed Hispania. Did you know that? KJ talks about the dummying down of the populace. Step by step, inch by inch. And then by the time you really know it, it's too late. Hey, Mary, nice to see you. She's my girlfriend. Leave me alone. I've got more than one. I got one in every... Mom, oh, my God. I got Pamela going to work. She hears this. She's going to kick my butt. Watch the way a man is with his mother, and I'll show you the way he'll be with his lady. After all, someone who treats his lady like a princess was brought up by a queen, right? No, I mean, you gotta celebrate the woman to be the kind of knuckle dragging Neanderthal that I am, because when I'm talking to you honest-like, I can sound like a serious not a misogynist, but certainly a sexist, certainly a chauvinist, okay? Because I do believe we're stronger than women. But I also believe they're stronger than us in different strengths, in different ways, different times. I think we have a significant place and time, and I think it doesn't take a whole lot of common sense to figure that out. My mother would always say, a woman should never take the cojones from a man. She understood what a man needs to be a man, so he can be the protector of his women. I'd always say, Pamela, you make the salad, I'll take the bullet, thank you. I might never have to take that bullet, right? But when I have to take that bullet, I can't say, oh, I don't know, here, you first, you go through the door first. Hey, Richard, nice to see you. No, man, I'm all about the traditional thing. I'm all day long traditional. I mean, this is what, see, that's what I talk about with this whole pop culture. That's really what it's wiped out, right? That's what Marxism has wiped out. It's wiped out the religion. It's wiped out the family. That's been their technique. They've written about it. This isn't new to scholars. This isn't new to people in the know. But they don't let the general populace know. It's by omission. I mean, I think it's criminal. I think anyone that withholds anything from a populace who one has the duty to serve and protect rather than intimidate and control, which is what's happening now, right? It's like protect and serve and protect. I mean, that's the paradigm always. You know, it's like my child. Remember that look at, you see in TV shows or commercials, you'd see a child where the parent was demonstrating lack of goodwill, and the child would have and the child would have that look on its face like, you really not caring about me. I don't know how to say this to you. I don't even know what to say, but I don't feel comfortable. How long has that been going on for, and to what degree? And of course, what's the first reason anybody does anything, any group does anything? The first thing you need in place is that you're able to, that you can. That's why it's been incremental. Because people take an inch, they want a mile, but they don't get to the mile right away. They just take a second inch. You know, maybe a third and fourth inch. But they could have never taken if they wanted all that at once. Richard's thinking out loud. He's saying, Senator, I'm out. Wonder where the votes will go. Romney, Paul, or Ganger. You know, I was thinking about that. And quite frankly, see, I think, this is what I think about. Let me see if I can give you a quick big picture thing on this Gingrich thing. I think Gingrich got everybody outbound and outmatched intellectual-wise in terms of knowing how to play the game of politics. Knowing what politics are, knowing how to play, knowing how the system is actually formulated. The guy's a mechanic. The guy's a mechanic. So all I know is this. I don't know a damn thing. I do know this. He's going to take it to the end. Now, isn't there some finagling that goes on with the bigger picture of politics to which we don't even know about? Because, you know, this isn't the kind of thing where 20 hours of your time all of a sudden lets you know how to play the game, even though the media might want to let you think they know, because, of course, they know, right? These people don't have a clue, neither do we. They want us to end it all out. No, let the Super Bowl play out, thank you. Let the nine innings go on unless it's a call for rain. There's no calling for rain here, all right? Let the system play out. Let it be what it's going to be. But I'm telling you, I would not be the least bit surprised if we all get a little bit of lessons in civics here when it comes down to me. Now, on that note, back to the question of where will these votes go? I think they very well may go to Newt. And if they do, that'll make everything that I'm suggesting to you more likely the cause to the effect. And then who knows there? Because each step gets you in a little bit closer to the next step. He might be, I shoot pool. I shoot pool well. And it's not about the one ball, the five ball, the nine ball, 12 ball. It's not about the shot you're making. It's all about the next shot and the next shot after that, and quite frankly, three and four and five shots ahead. I'm not a chess player, but I believe that's similar to what they do in chess too, understanding the game. I used to make a raw analogy that pool was like chess rather than like checkers. You have to see those geometric moves ahead of time. But the only difference between chess and pool was chess, you just intellectually think it and you move it. So like being a liberal. But pool, you had to execute it. You know, pool's a little like golf and bowling in that way, you know, in terms of the kind of kinetic skills that it takes. And it certainly is a talent to be good, and I was fortunate. See, to me, it's all about the position you play. It's all about position play. And I have a feeling Newt Gingrich is going to show a lot of people about position play. I don't think there's anyone quite in his league, actually, in terms of knowing government. You know, when I was a kid, I used to wonder at my father as I would sit on his lap driving to the Cape from Brockton, Massachusetts, outside of Boston. And I used to say that when I get older, I'm never going to be able to drive from here to there because I would just get lost. I don't know how he finds his way around. You would think when you was a kid that you might think you could never possibly go from here to there and really know where you are. Of course, we grow older real quick and we find out, okay, and then each little lesson in the neighborhood first and then outside the neighborhood and then maybe walking to school, whatever, right? But then you know the city. Of course, you lived there by then 10 years and yes, you know the city. But isn't that the same way we as human beings depend on our government leaders to have the sense that they know where they're going? And that we have the same kind of bewilderment that if they don't know, don't we depend on that? I think, and see, that's how I see the government lacking it. Probably, I've seen that in 10 to 20 years. You know, I'm so tired of hearing, oh, well, since Bush, do you realize what we are experiencing has much more to do with the culmination of a collective 40 or 50 years? The idea of pulling this out behind one administration or the other to the other, it is a false premise. It keeps us spinning around in stupidity. It's like that little hand of a clock. It's the sum of its parts. You got to take a look, step back, and see it move. You got to keep your eyes on it and thinking it's going to move. You don't see it move. But yet, all these little paper cuts, all these little incrementalizations of events that occur one little step at a time, oh, each one doesn't mean anything, does it? I'm so tired of hearing these liberals talking about, well, that's only not even 1% of them. No, it is what it is. Coming back, taking money from some banks from one city when I was doing my little thing, banks. I was shooting some pool with my goombah and we're playing some nine ball for $50 a game. And we've got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in the car. And we're playing pool at the strip club or the bar or wherever we were at. And I lost about $50, $100. I think I owed them $100 after playing about 20 games. And he comes back to me and he says, hey, where's the $100? I said, you gotta be kidding. Dick, you got all this money? He says, $100 is $100. Every time I hear these, you know, these little talk about, well, you know, that's so minuscule. That's not the point. You know, it's like this billion we gave to the Muslim Brotherhood. Just imagine this. Do you know how much $1 billion is? I figured something out. I told you I published Arizona Tourist News, a newspaper, up until 2 years ago, after getting out of prison in 1985 and starting a business and evolving. Where was I? Let me turn the page. Tony just had an intellectual brain fart. Oh, well, it happens. I'm not going to worry about it, you know? I'm not getting paid. I've been doing this thing for 3 years, and I'm starting to think it's a replacement for a psychiatrist couch, you know? But it's that kind of thing we're all feeling, and that's what I'm relating to. But I've been seeing it while knowing full well that everybody around me wasn't seeing it at all. KJ is speaking about Newt. One of his failures was not communicating his he prank with his wife and the evolution and so forth. Well, I got on hold here. We'll work this one real quick. Good guy, man. Come to my rescue. Oh, we got these calls coming in. Hey, I've got two of you here. I've got 111 and 727. Who am I speaking with?
That's probably me, Tony.
Oh, how you doing, man? Nice to see you.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. When you talked earlier about the pool, you know, playing pool or playing chess analogies, and Newt is a mechanic. He's not a mechanic. He is an engineer. There's a difference.
I was almost going to go, oh, no, don't make me go this way with him. Damn, you just threw me a curveball, you.
Because I already can see, if he gets the chance to stand on that podium and he's in a debate with Barack Obama. Oh, the best part are going to be his zingers, because he's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I have white hair. Did you mistake me for John McCain? Because I'm certainly not going to let you steamroll me. I'm not going to play the polite game. I'm not going to let you take up my time. I'm not going to let you go ahead and not let me finish a thought. This is not 2008. This is a whole new ball game. It's not even the same sport. It's not even the same arena as what you were in last time.
And why are there – I cannot figure for the life of me, except that I always resort back to people are stupid. And I can't get, when they see Newt beat up on these media and say the very things that I'm dying, the things he's been doing, Fly, the reason I'm on right now. I wouldn't be doing this show the past year, swear to God, if there was somebody in the media that spoke up like him. I wouldn't be doing it.
And he says it, but he does it in a way that's better. Yeah, I'm disappointed that Rick dropped out. But let's face it, Rick chose family over the process, and that's admirable for him. It speaks volumes about his character. Can we say the same when it comes to character issues?
That's called class.
Yes.
That's the higher order. That's somebody who is deserving of the presidency. You know, they talk about George Washington before they were, you know, as they were forming the government. They talked about how he always went in with his uniform on, with complete decorum, and he always acted presidential. He always acted like he was certainly going to be the one. And he just went about his business without trying to beat up on anybody.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing prima donna or anything. He was simply still in his active role as chief of the army.
Yep.
That was his job.
Yep.
You had some that took offense at that. Our revolution is over. And he's like, I can't remember which signer of the Declaration of Independence had made who was also part of the Continental Congress, had made a comment about that.
Right.
And he said, are we not always at some form of risk in some shape or fashion?
In other words, don't we always need daddy clothes?
Sort of, yeah, exactly.
You know, don't disrespect that it's about survival. And the power of the sword, I mean, the power of the pen is only as good as the power of the sword. For without the sword, there would be no power in the pen. And that's
funny
my line for that.
Exactly. Without the sword, you don't have the pen, and vice versa.
Exactly.
And this is where I really wish history had taken a change in 1945. Because I wish Patton would have survived. He yep. would have been the guy.
We got liberal and successful on ourselves. We didn't want to be the bad one. See, I'm a big believer that we should have been the bully in behalf of good. We should have became the bully, but only a good bully.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
a bad bully.
Well, basically,
instead of the world, do anything wrong, and you're going to catch some severe hell. You want money from us, it's because you're behaving. But we had those bigger pictures going on, right, with this whole one world thing. I mean, all of these people, they're not happy with the United States. They're so, they're about, if they could, they'd be the universe. They wouldn't even be the world. That'd be a neighborhood to them.
Well, one thing is, think about it. Patton died, and Omar Bradley was quietly shuffled away, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he? Yet you still had this prima donna loudmouth called MacArthur running around. Who was, if you think about it, only 50% of a success. Right? He lost the
first
time.
I'm not very familiar with it. I know the edges of it, but go ahead and speak what you know.
Well, think about it. He was successful in the guy always was. He was always batting 500. That's the way I would put it. He lost out of the Philippines, but he came back. He had a successful push from Incheon, but it got pushed back. And then when he really wanted to aggressively push things, Harry said, I don't want to deal with you.
Nothing. Did that all take him out or something?
Well,
it's
really, no, I'm still here. The thing was, I thought I lost you for a second because you're on your cordless, right?
Yeah, sure am.
Yeah.
My high-end cordless, my $39 a month cricket plan, baby.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on the wireless, I thought you were on the cordless house phone. But I view that as had Patton lived, he would have stayed in the political spotlight because he would have been the perfect counter to a prima donna. Now, the thing that I'm getting tired of is this is how much Chris Matthews truly hates Newt Gingrich. Every chance he gets, he points out that Newt looks like the devil. He looks evil. Blah, blah, blah. Every single time. And I always like it when the left tries to play off that, oh, there's no media bias. Oh, really? Let's see.
Well, those are the
Chris
kinds
Matthews
of things.
Alone worked for four different Democratic members of Congress. Frank Moss, Ed Muskie, Moynihan. You know, I mean, come on.
I'd ask him. I'd get him on the spot by asking about Joe McCarthy and the Venona Papers.
Oh, yeah.
Without the media's help, Joe McCarthy would have been able to do his job. And you guys in the media are, in fact, the de facto foxes in the hen house.
Yeah.
I mean, they're consistent with all of this.
Precisely.
So that's the kind of stuff I'd be talking to. That's the kind of stuff I'd be talking to, honest to God. I'd be saying, you're familiar with the 45-point
tubes put on an axle between the wheel and the axle, keep the wheel from sliding all the way.
Yeah.
It's for a little four-wheel pull cart.
But anyway, Flyover, nice talking to you, man. I'm going to take a break.
Thanks,
okay? This is Tony Venuti, folks, with the Ex-Conservative Radio from Tucson, Arizona, where it's the culture, stupid. Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm on the weekends, too, a lot of times just in the chat room playing an archive. And of late, I've been a little bit inconsistent, and I sort of apologize, because I really do appreciate your time, and one thing I believe in as a marketer is consistency. And I do believe that, I'm here for a reason. I'm here to give you a point of view. But the kind of in-depth analysis that you wouldn't just get anywhere else. You can believe that if you want. We'll be right back.
After midnight, we're gonna lay it all hang down. After midnight, we're gonna chug a little bit shot. We're gonna stimulate some action. We're gonna get some satisfaction. We're gonna find out what it is all about.
Arizona, where each and every day it's the culture is stupid. And from one of my many Facebook friends, from Amy Amory, she says, Newt Gingrich comments on Rick Santorum's suspension campaign. From Newt Byrne, North Carolina, Newt Gingrich released the following statement, reacting to Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum suspending his campaign. Rick has waged a remarkable campaign. His success is a testament to his tenacity and the power of conservative principles. I am committed to staying in this race all the way to Tampa so that the conservative movement has a real choice. I humbly ask Senator Santorum supporters to visit Newt.org to review my conservative record and join us as we bring these values to Tampa. We know well that the only conservative can protect life, defend the Constitution, restore jobs, growth, and return to a balanced budget. Amen. Thank you for that, Amy Amory. I think Newt's the only adult in the room, any way you cut it. You know, this business about religion and the founding fathers, and you know, understand some of our exceptionalism comes from the fact that we have been endowed by somebody greater than us that gave us the right to our own space, to our own property rights, where I'm standing right here and now. I own me. I am the boss of me. And anytime somebody questions my allegiance to the idea that liberals have sufficiently covered up the notion that religion doesn't have anything to do and shouldn't have with the politics, I bring him to David Barton's White House tour. This is something that if you haven't seen, you need to. Here it is right here.
This Bible was printed by the U.S. Congress in 1782. In the record, it says that this Bible was, quote, a neat edition of the Holy Scriptures for the use of our schools, end quote. So the first Bible printed in America in English was printed by Congress for the use of our schools, end quote, from that. In the front of the cover, it says the Congress resolved, the United States and Congress assembled recommend this edition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States. So the first Bible printed in English in America was done by the guys who signed the document, endorsed by Congress, and done for the use of school. And we're going to be told that they don't want any kind of religion and education. They don't want voluntary prayer. No, it doesn't make sense. This document by itself is not significant. In 1830, Congress commissioned these four paintings over here to recapture what the official record said was the Christian history of the United States. And these four paintings you have really a span of several hundred years. We're told that they don't want any kind of religion.
I did wonderful, didn't I? What do I give myself there, a D or an F minus or what? Folks, you've been listening to Dave Barton fighting through as I had another window playing at the same time. Sorry about that. You're listening to the Ex-Conservative Radio Hour, where each and every day it's the culture, stupid. And do not tell me that my computer is down as well. That'll be wonderful if it is. But it'll be what it'll be. Yeah, it looks like it too. Okay, maybe we can do this right here. Let me figure something out here. If I could sing, I'd sing, folks. If I could tell you a joke, I would. I mean, I'm a poet that don't know it. I can keep my mouth moving. We can see just to the degree of which this is going to take hold, but,
Everything is alright. You kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me. I know what I know. Unlike most of you that think you know, you think. Unlike most of you and you and you and yes, maybe even you, indeed, not only me, but gosh, 2 and 3 aren't great numbers. Now, are they? You see, I've been watching this. And I've just had it. I've had it up to here. Haven't come down there, from there in hell. The hell we fear not, indeed fear not. Italian, never white, always American, but not recognized. No, why Italian? The wine with the waters parted, diluted to a hyphen. Assimilate, dilate, dilute, pollute with abundanza. Pollute that which is the water to the wine. Yes, waters parted, now we're white. I'm telling you, I've had it. I've had it up to here. Check it out. Not all things are black and white. Italian, I am. Wrong, oh, right. Rules to break. Satisfy the needs. Rules to break. Pay the price. Fall on the sword. Accept the heat. Rules to break. The fun we make. Do as I say, not as I do. Were the rules we had to follow, but you got caught. Was the burden for which price paid. You compete with life. Do all you want. Do all you want. The risk, but oh, it's fun. Pay the price. Shut your mouth. Oh, woe is me. Dad, bail me out. I don't belong. Take him out, officer. That's my son. The Joneses, while being swept up, wood must keep up. Never mind. Air is thin. Awareness is thinner. Feeling faint so high. Looking down on others. Lucky are we. The anointed ones. Yes, the anointed. We know better. Oh, better than those. And yes, even those who think we know. You see, folks, not all things.
Not all things are black and white.
My name is Tony Venuti.
Folks, you've been listening to Tony Venuti with your ex-conservative radio hour as he goes through a few technical difficulties right here. And as I've been talking about earlier, I've been celebrating this new group in Facebook called Liberals Equals Baby Killers. Yes. And for the first time, I developed a group that sort of self-appointed themselves as members without their significant invitation to, I want to join, may I? Did I just not include that? So I've got a very targeted groups of true conservatives, folks. I don't know how someone that can say they're conservative and yet believe in choice. I don't care if you have choice in your life, but if you want to put the principle that we're riding behind, that we're all meaning to strive to be in charge of, because, you see, the survival of a family, the perpetuation of a species, the what's it all about survival is the backtracking to the engineering of all of this. It's all about the family. If we were the universe, if the universe was to allow the idea that life really isn't to be something to behold, something to hold that, as if everything depends on it, then what value do you have in your own life? And what life, what value do you put on your own living life? Doesn't that transcend the thought that says, if I don't value life from its inception, am I therefore diminishing my life, my value to the life of myself and to others? And then what I will be therefore prone to, how shall I say, be able to take a life a lot easier, be able to disrespect the life a lot easier. It's these principles that is the definition of tough love. Hey, Richard, take care, flying over. Did I miss you already? Yeah, I did. There's this whole precept that we're talking about. We understand that individually things might occur that, hey, you know, you made a boo-boo, and you're going to do whatever you need to do to disobey the laws that go with the land, if that's the case. So be it. You know? So be it. After all, we're not perfect. We need to strive to be perfect. There needs to be some established doctrines that keep us on the road, on the right path, traveling at the right speed, being careful as we go through the intersections, etc. All the kinds of things that might suggest that we have some kind of responsibility and accountability to, rather than have a sense that says, no, go ahead and do anything you want, be any way that you want to be, and when you screw up, then we'll deal with it. We'll have things in place. We'll empower people to spend money to take care of you rather than hold you to account. You know, about this business about being a professional man, and show me somebody without sin, huh? Show me someone who hasn't got his hand. I'll tell you what, show me someone that when they do, they handle it with the grace that Newt Gingrich has. Be any way that you want to be. I have more respect for an axe murderer that says he's an axe murderer than some of these politicians around. At least an axe murderer, what can I do if an axe murderer tells? First of all, I can be glad he's telling me, right? I mean, I could get a bigger axe, I could get the hell out of Dodge. But at least he's, I mean, it's to some degree, to be honest with you, I almost feel the same way about Obama, because he's told us he was a fox in the henhouse right from the very beginning. Transformational change. He wasn't lying, baby. He told us right through our face the arrogance that goes with a liberal. It's amazing, the hypocrisy of it all. You know, the idea that misbehavior is something to get away with, and if you do, you're cool as a liberal. And if you don't get away with it, we'll all just poo-poo it away, because quite frankly, we don't want those rules imposed upon us either. And we have so much contempt for the law of rule. You know, ever since I started hearing in the media, news reports, you know, the broadcasters start to use street vernacular, you know, calling police and law enforcement. Instead of saying law enforcement or the police, they'll say cops. You know, they're using, like, get down, get on it. They're using all this kind of street vernacular, aren't they? Have you seen that over the past 5 or 10 years, and more so, more and more? Take a listen. Oh, that would really upset me. That's just a matter of bastardizing the language. Take a listen. No, man, you listen to this. Again, striving to rise above the higher order of what is correct. Otherwise, once we start tearing it apart and like it has no meaning, the rules, then how low can it go? How low can it go? And I think the thing with Sanatorum is curious in terms of what you'll have now is, pay attention now to the pundits, okay? Because they all know what's going to happen. Oh, they'll know. Not only do they know, but they're going to want you to know how to know it. It's sort of like, I don't want to get off the Sanatorum thing because I think it's relevant right now. Actually, that really worked out well. I could see where that would have, understand something, folks. We're not halfway through, are we? Are we halfway through? Behind this false premise, oh, we shouldn't have to take all the money to fight the general. Look, let me tell you something. Anybody's going to be able to beat Obama with their hands tied behind their back. Serious. Because there's only so many people that they can dummy down, and those are the ones that are basically already dummy down. The others are going to come to just see what the difference between how they feel about him being by a person. Oh, I like Obama. You know, how was his likability quotient is so much higher than his how did he do quotient. Well, guess what's going to take president when they're in that voting booth? Just like an expiration on a coupon where people don't act until the very last day with the expiration date on a coupon, so will we finally know how those independents vote. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to vote the way their fear tells them to vote. They're going to just see what Obama's been up to. There is no question. And no matter how much money Obama has, the only people he's going to continue to convince are the ones that are already convinced. And quite frankly, the harder he tries, I think the more he's going to benefit his opponent. That's right, because you know he's going to use all this negative crap. He's going to use nothing. It's going to get right down to Rachel. And that's when people are going to say, wait a minute, man, if we're going to falter here, we're going to falter on the side of right. And it might just happen to be white. And you can call it racist all day long. And there's going to be quite a few black conservatives coming to the rescue. Because black conservatives will rock. This is their time. Black conservatives really have an opportunity to write the history books. Black conservatives have the opportunity to match Martin Luther King's time collectively, not as a person. I don't think anyone's going to step up in Martin Luther King's shoes to that grand demeanor, you know, to that grandeur. But I do think collectively, as much like the Tea Party is a group, it's an attitude. If the black conservatives end up coalescing, I'm going to be really curious. But the bottom line is this. I think anybody will beat Obama. I'm sorry. Now, gosh, don't even talk about Paul, please. That's a whole nother story. Ron Paul's a whole nother story. He is. I don't know how he was ever in the Republican Party debates anyway. Well, I guess it's because they don't have a three-party vote, so the fair thing is because he can't. See, conservatism is at the center. And libertarian is on the right, and liberal is on the left. It's about conservatism being out of the center. I mean, anything when it's developed, it's like an egg. It expands outward, you know, like a balloon spherically, right? However you say that, sphere, 360, right? In all dimensions. That's the other, you know, displacement of thought, but that when you are not thinking from the correct premise, everything else goes off. It's like going into a maze. And when you realize you're not where you want to be, don't you try to backtrack to the last correct place? But we've been thinking with the wrong premise. Now, this thing in Grand Sanatorium is real curious. I mean, and you want to talk about divine intervention, how life has a strange way of taking different kinds of turns. I would be quick to suggest to you that Santorum really did flip his decision because of his child being, you know, ill. Everything combined, that was the tipper. You know, you almost have to think to what degree was he running with his hands behind his back by having that kind of burden and responsibility, because it isn't easy. And when you think about the emotional fortitude that a campaign day in and day out, they're totally on schedule, man. They're totally off schedule. They're either sitting down at meeting, or they're eating, or they're walking to another meeting. Non-stop, they got their handlers there. This is a machine running. Can you imagine when, oh, excuse me, let me call and see how my dog, can you, no, man. It's just funny how things play out. And that's why we need to let natural law take its course. We need to let the natural order of events take their course. God forbid Romney could walk across the street tomorrow and get hit by a car. I'm not, cut it out, you know where I'm going. I'm just saying, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And we're not going to cut down the Super Bowl short. We're not going to cut down the baseball season short. We're going to let the season play out and not determine by popular vote which one of the more popular teams should win just so we can hurry up and get to the Super Bowl. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. You don't do it in sport. You don't do it in anything. You never hear this power of certainty spoken like I speak it. Oh, I know you do. Of course you do, but no. Oh, no. Come on. Stop, Tony. Anyway, folks, thanks for coming by today. My name is Tony Beauty. You know what? I've been getting quite a few archival listens. It's promising. I like it. The most I've ever had before. It's a wonderful thing. From the 1,500,000 most listened to talk show to the 500,237, etc. But I know, it's my dream of being on national and getting an audience is long gone because I can see why it won't work. I know why the talkers, they're doing such a great job now. Limbaugh, Hannity, you know, Levin, Savage, all those guys, and so many more who are actually pretty good. They can't say the kinds of things I need to say. The whole purpose, I just wouldn't get to them. And the left and the media, TV, the very people that I would like to get to, if it was just that simple, they don't want to even give me a chance, and I know that, because I'd cold cock them. I swear to God, if I was lucky enough to be on with Bill Maher right now, I'd walk up to shake his hand, and I'd probably cold cock him. I mean, bad serious, I'd only have one chance, right? I'd only have one chance, so I'd better do it. After all, what do you expect? I'm just an ex-con, right? He can laugh because he's just a comedian. Well, I cold cock him because I'm just an ex-con. Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen. They go by the idea that let's make like it doesn't exist. That's what O'Reilly does with the talkers that they deserve. I mean, isn't it wild how often the left will talk on CNBC and MSNBC and NBC, and they down-talk their opponents? Aren't you ever the least bit curious why they don't invite those people for a one-on-one debate? Huh? Isn't it just curious to you? You wonder why it isn't curious to more people? Maybe it is. But if you guys are on the left are so smart, you're so brilliant, why don't you bring these guys out and debate with them? See, if I had a lot of money, if I just won that $300 million lottery, that $500 million lottery, maybe that $500,000 lottery, I'd give a TV network whatever money they need to put on a debate by whomever I chose to. And I would make the money so, I would make it so hard for them to say no, both money-wise and prestige-wise. And I would throw my big bucks at it. I mean, wouldn't you just love a debate with Newt? Who would you love to have Newt tear up? Huh? Who would you like to have Newt? Wouldn't you just love to have a bunch of money like the left does and throw? Wouldn't you just love to use their tactics? You're going to fight fire with fire. New Facebook group, which is liberals equals baby killers, ? It's an example of that. The left really is a witch at maximizing the perception of reality that people have been trained not to see it as an illusion, but to see it as instead of perception. And you'll have the likes of O'Reilly always saying, perception is a reality. No, it isn't. It's an illusion of reality. Yes, I understand people act accordingly. That's my point. But we need to have educated people. We need to be telling people that perception is often what you're getting, but it's just an illusion. The way you can get past that is thinking a little bit. But the media, they take the minimal, and they make like you think the rest of the world thinks like that too. They get you thinking that the rest of the world is thinking like the way the media is making out that they think. Meanwhile, most people are thinking like you. And you don't know it. A silent majority kind of thing. See, that's sort of what Kentucky see is. That's sort of what Limbaugh took control of in the late 70s. I guess he went in early 80s, whatever. Because he understood the audience that existed of the silent majority. He understood that it was like the kids in a... stole the keys from daddy's liquor cabinet, right? Three generations ago in the 50s, that when the parents haven't been successful, went on vacation for two or three generations, thinking that they could entrust the house to the kids, thinking that we'd come back in the same condition. And now that we've woken up and we've come out of hibernation, we come back to the house and we realize not only did the kids, who first were getting drunk from stealing the keys from daddy's liquor cabinet, but since been unbeknownst to their parents who entrusted them with the house for a number of generations, have been holding these parties and being party to a takeover by having their identity being taken right from them. That's right. Mother and daddy came home, the baby boomers came home and said, oh, guess what? Not only did we have a party at the house, but we somehow, it's not our house anymore, Mom. I don't know what we did. it's really a crazy analogy, but I think it's right on the money. I think it's like really right there on the money. First, I get wrong.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco, who may not know it, but they are beautiful, and so is their city. This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it. If not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
Gold lights beam